make sure that after you calculate all these considerations, legislative guidelines out, that if you're left with a year, the guy gets a year, you need to have this language in here.
Mr. Chairman, let me ask you both again, maybe I'm missing something here. It was not, it was either my understanding or my contention or something. When I talk about repeat felons and presumptive sentences for repeat felons, I have always thought we were talking about a situation where a judge did not have the discretion to suspend.
So I always thought we were talking.
That's what and if that's not in whatever we put in, however we do it, it ought to be there.
I think if we're done, the way to stick it in.
The only point is that I think that it should be something on which there's no room for argument.
I am nothing wrong with at least that part. I finally found one portion of your presentation I agree with. Where we do decide, and we might even decide differently than you recommend, to put presumptive sentences, I think they really ought to be presumptive sentences. And if a guy is, if the power to suspend is still there, then we've just passed a joke and it's still all judicial discretion.
Now, section 45 dealing with prior conviction on bottom of page 8, top of page 9, contains some changes that I think are of those types of technical changes, and I think that they'll improve prior drafts of the bill. First of all, what 661 did was try to take each offense, like first class C felony means someone who's never been convicted of anything. Type thing. And I've tried to give in subsection 1 there, starting on line 4, a general definition of what a prior conviction is. And it says, a defendant shall only be considered to be a second, third, or subsequent offender if he has been previously convicted of the necessary number of offenses of the same or more serious class of offense, except for the offense of murder, in which case a defendant has been previously convicted of murder or of a class A felony, again limited to those three or four serious ones, shall be sentenced as a second offender pursuant to section 26.2 of this chapter. Subsection 2 is the statute of limitations language that has always been in every bill, and it's a little different in that it makes it clear, and this is sort of in response to an objection at the public hearings raised by the Chiefs of Police Association, and I think by the troopers also, that number one, it was confusing, and number two, it arguably didn't cut off enough time. The 7-year period is preserved, but it would run from the date when any disability has ceased to attach to the offense, which would include probation and or parole. The way previous drafts have run,
any disability,
it would only run from
broader than you want.
No, I don't think so. I think that it's limited, but it's a little broader than previous drafts. Subsection 3 there does the same thing. You'll recall that prior drafts of the bill have always had a section in there that make it clear that if there's two or more convictions that arise out of a single course of criminal conduct.
Well, that could be any disability, and then that would be fraud. I'm listening. We're saying that someone can't own them forever.
Sorry.
It's all right. Should
I proceed, Mr. Chairman?
Well, you'd be interested to know that. I'm trying to figure out.
Good. Subsection 3 there deals with again, a section that's been in every prior bill, and attempts to deal with sort of the question I raised with respect to Mr. Brown's proposed amendment on the pornography bill. What you mean by the effect of a prior conviction?
And
whether...
Page 9, line 15.
Yeah, lines 15 through 22.
That's not in any of our
it
drafts.
It is, but it's substantially different. And the prior drafts have always said that two or more convictions arising out of a single, substantially contemporaneous course of criminal conduct are to be considered a single conviction, okay? There's two things about that. Number one, it didn't make it clear what kind of conviction if they were of different classes. So this thing makes it clear that it's to be considered as one, but it's to be considered as the most serious class. So if you have an A and a B that are part of that definition, then you consider the A, which I think is, I think you have to make it clear anyway. The second thing is that when I got to thinking about it, I don't know what a substantially contemporaneous course of criminal conduct is. And
I Oh. I
We're back in the record call meeting door. This is something crazy. Crazy is your parents' life.
You mean in almost all cases?
Well, I think it's only been three. I think it was only three cases. I think they were all one. Doug, is that correct that first-degree murder of the cases judicial counsel reported on, the average sentence was life?
Thanks.
Good idea, sir.
Doug? There's my hair.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, too. That's what I said.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's pretty close to it. I saw the
Yeah. Why don't you move them separately?
Well, Mr. Chairman, for first-degree murder, I will move 20 to life. Or if it's better for him to say 99.
Yes,
say 99.
20
to 99.
Should I
say
20? I guess 10, because say life, that means better than a half.
Okay, Fred's motion is to have it read 20 that's years to 99 point. Years. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
It's life.
For first degree murder.
Okay.
It varies.
Doesn't
matter. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Now, under this bill, that could be... 10 years.
No, because we have the murder is a special crime that we're not applying presumptive sentencing to. We're dictating what it is.
It also doesn't apply to first offense.
Minimum sentence is 20 years.
Yeah,
20 years.
I suppose it's a separate policy decision whether or not, as to a first offense, there's any power to suspend.
There's a letter. The later section, Chairman.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least my current prejudice is not even to allow the power to suspend in regard to a first offense, first degree verdict. Of course, that'll be a different motion, I suppose.
It would. This would mean that the person would get loopholes and everything else considered, at the very least, 20 years eligible for parole.
That's another policy.
Well, that depends what you want to do with parole.
Yeah.
So far, we have not seen that parole laws.
No. Well, Mr. Chairman, the point I'm making is, if we're going to build in a half dozen or a dozen ways that it's not going to be 20 years at minimum, then I'd opt for 30. You know, whatever you're.
There are no escape clauses built into this thing yet. The only escape clause built into this bill is a 3-judge panel, and that's for.
Doug, maybe you should just point it to the committee to your section here, which is 20.
Yeah.
22. I mean, he specifically excludes.
I mean,
section 22 of the bill. That taken in.
Okay, let me find
that.
It says right there that you can't,
except in the case of murder.
Okay. So that section, and presuming they don't leave it out, and I sure don't want to, it says the judge would not be able to limit it. Now, I suppose if my amendment passes, I will also, if necessary, vote for an amendment to make sure that the parole board can't either. I mean, you know, otherwise, I might as well go back to the view that somebody else wanted and we'll just have one degree of murder. You know?
Okay. And then, in answer to my question, it's the intent.
You've got my vote to plug any loophole that you find for less than 20 years for first offense, first degree murder. If you like that.
Okay.
Put that.
Doug, is that correct? And
there are no
ability to suspend or SIS the way the bill is drafted.
Well, now, Mr. Chairman, the Section 22 is part of the current law. But Section 22 is one that says you cannot suspend in cases of murder. And it used to say, I rewrote it a little bit. It's part of the current law. However, after that was passed, the legislature in later years passed the SIS and probation, which implicitly repealed part of section or that. See, the courts held that implicitly repealed it. Now, with our discussion, we should say it in the commentary by reenacting this again. Then, the committee and the legislature is saying that there are no loopholes.
That's right.
Doug, do you think that it would be preferable on murder here to specifically state in that statute that, or somewhere, is that
life without parole?
No, that no other provision of law applies to this.
See, Dolly Parton's thing.
Well, if you do that there, Terry, you have to do it for any time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'd like that.
We can say that. Yeah, we can.
The motion is 20 to 99, and the intent of the
where are we at
on murder.
Well.
State's 12, section 5.
$20 to $99, I'll vote for anything that's firm, but I'll make sure it's real minimum, 20.
Okay. Are we ready for the vote?
Sorry, this is important. The motion is 20 to life.
$20 to $99.
You get 1 year free.
Okay.
That's all it is.
That's it. Now, that's about, this is red.
In B there, it says the same thing. Is that talking about second group?
Yeah.
No, that's a typo.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'll make a motion with regard to that in a moment.
Okay, that should be second.
Yeah.
We're not to that. We're just dealing with subsection A. All those in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the motion carries it.
Okay, with regard to B, Mr. Chairman, I move that while the typo needs to be changed, that reads second degree murder, 0 to 99, which is what the commission had for their one murder. Proving to the minority members that I'm as good as my word. Any harm over there, Congress?
Okay, the motion on second, it should read second degree on line 14, and the motion is 0 to 99. Mr. Carson,
I would argue for 5 to 99.
What's the existing law for here? Well,
20 to life.
No, it's 15 to life.
15 to life.
But the thing is though, 15 means 0 to life. Because the court said you could suspend all of the minimum sentence. The minimum sentence in existing law is not a minimum sentence.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's exactly true. I mean,
well, that's
you,
well.
You know, just, I'm not,
remember,
no,
that's
not
why we kept taking the minimum out earlier last year.
Okay, Mr. Brown.
The reason I'm saying 0 to 99 is that all the rest of murder includes a very wide range of activity, including reckless activity, I believe.
That's correct.
And also includes felony murder. Now, if we were to come up with four degrees and separate it out, then maybe I'd say the other kinds of murder should have a minimum of 5, but since we're including all of those kinds of homicide in this other degree, that's the reason for 0 to 99 in the motion.
Mr. Carter? Well, for murdering somebody, whether it's under a felony murder statute or not, I can't conceive of us ever having a...
Let me give you a case.
Go ahead.
Okay, there's a case that was told to me by a judge in your district about a woman who killed her child, and he suspended her sentence, and at the same time gave her brother life for killing, blowing two tourists away with a shotgun. And the case turned out to be pretty strange, and it sounds pretty strange that he sentenced the brother and sister to life and zero, but after he told the story, I was convinced he did the right thing. The story went, some of the details were that the father was an alcoholic, and kids had grown up and used to beat the kids up, and they would run away from home every time they see the old man drinking because they knew they were going to get beat up. Well, anyway, this gal had a kid, and she was still living at home. And so her brother blows these two guys away with a shotgun on the beach, a couple of tourists. And so after that, she goes out and leaves her kid on the beach and dies of exposure, basically, a small baby. Well, it turns out that the child was a product of incest from when her father had raped her. And she just did this, you know, and it was a very strange case.
Of course, she was convicted of manslaughter.
Yeah, but under the code, reckless under circumstances matter.
Yeah, I think it would rise to the level of reckless.
Yes,
it would
be
included under murder.
See, that's the important thing that people argue, and that we've expanded what we mean by murder by including that reckless.
Well, then we can have, then let's create a third degree for women who have babies by their fathers. Murder is, to me, now has always been the most heinous of crimes. We fool around with all these other things and take copious words and many pages to try to make some piddling thing that's in a picture or on a piece of paper some kind of felony. We talk about someone taking somebody's life, child or not, and one of the options is zero. That's wrong.
If we would put 5 in for second degree, couldn't a three-judge panel reduce that to zero?
in the case of the lady who killed the baby.
Three-judge panel, it only applies to, only works with the presumptive term.
Well, we could apply it to...
You could apply it, but you'd have to specifically lock in the three-judge panel to this, if you wanted to apply it. It's presently, it doesn't apply. If you wanted to make it apply, it's a simple matter of writing another sentence.
How much would that change the philosophy of the direction that we're headed with presumptive sentencing? Not at all, really, would it?
What, to apply the three-judge panel?
To apply the three-judge panel rule to first and second-degree murder.
Not first. I promised Larry I didn't have any loopholes on first, and I mean it.
Well, you mean that the three-judge panel could mitigate, because it couldn't aggravate, because the judge could obviously go to 99. That the three-judge panel could mitigate below the minimum?
Yeah. But the, somebody else say something about that.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm inclined to go with Larry on that. But in the case that you just described, maybe there was a reason for
Mr. Chairman, I suppose the other alternative would be that the section. Mr. Chairman, I suppose the other alternative would be that the section. Well, then we're right back to something I suppose Mr. Carpenter would like, but that the section that says that murder does not the power to suspend does not apply to murder, would only apply to murder one. The power to suspend could apply to murder too. I suppose that'd be another way of doing what Mr. Miles is talking about.
Yeah, but that's not being too
honest. I don't think I'd support that, so.
Well, I don't want to drag around, but my whole point is on the giving her 5 years or 10 or whatever you want, I don't know what lesson that would teach her or what kind of, would that teach her not to have a father who beats her and rapes her and not to have a brother who blows people away with shotguns? I mean, I don't know what it would teach her, and I don't know what you want to teach her by putting her in jail for 5 years, but I am convinced that there are cases where you wouldn't want to put her into jail, and you wouldn't want to allow SIS or whatever, and this would not do that.
We allow SIS?
I mentioned that. That poor kid would want to sit in jail.
Yeah, now look at the code.
Don't worry about what the baby
does. It could be, yeah. Conceivably, you could have a suspended imposition of sentence for murder. Right now, I mean, you can
under the code. I mean, Doug, as this is written,
under your amendment, we couldn't though.
No,
we changed the latter
right,
part of this.
Right.
Larry, did you move that in your amendment?
No,
I have to make an observation.
I have moved 0 to 99. If I got down below 4 votes, I may change it.
If you want to, broaden the scope of manslaughter, which intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly causes the death of another person under circumstances not amounting to murder in the first or second degree, that might be one thing. But if we're talking about under the first and second degree amendment which we adopted, we're talking about someone who recklessly causes the death of another person under circumstances manifesting an extreme indifference to the value of human life.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be zero.
I didn't say it should be. I said there are cases when I don't think that people who did that, it's going to do any good to put them in jail.
Well, I don't think that giving a judge the option to throw this out because of what he thinks is right or wrong, morally.
That's what I think is right or wrong.
Okay, then if you think, let's cover your woman with manslaughter.
Lisa? I mean, knock it out of second degree for the first?
Where the hell she's
well,
I mean, I'm sorry, knock it out of second degree and put it in manslaughter?
I'm not certain it's not manslaughter anyway.
Well, it's up to the jury, though. I mean, the jury could say, it's obviously manslaughter would be a lesser included. If the jury's willing to find that it was circumstances, quote unquote.
So that's a way to opt out, right?
Well, the jury is always a way to opt
out. The
jury,
sure. So we shouldn't be making our law for that kind of extraordinary exception. Okay. I'd like to know how to prove incest anyway.
You got an SIS.
All right.
That's very
appropriate.
Okay, Larry, did you move an amendment?
Yes.
An amendment to the amendment? It
would yes.
Yeah.
To change 0 to 5.
We're not in this
one. Chairman. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to explore the possibility of using that three judges for that type of mitigation.
Well, we can do it. It's a drafting problem, so, but we can apply it.
to take care of those special circumstances which might come up. I think if we just let it, you know, the panel, three judges really look into it, they do, you know, because of very special circumstances, I think that it's...
I'm of the opinion that three judges are three times as bad as one, that we got ourselves in the box because we've left this discretion to them.
Well, you know, when I heard this story that Terry is telling, I thought that Dave, I thought that that's the kind of case you wanted to do a three-judge panel. Because, you know, you hear the story and it's somewhat sympathetic, and you're saying, okay, well, maybe in that case it should be zero. But I'd rather have three people decide than have one in that extraordinary case.
I have, you know, not to go through the whole litany, but sat through hundreds and hundreds of trials, and I haven't, and parole hearings, and I haven't met any defendant yet who wasn't really remorseful and sorrowful about it all, and sorry and regretful and all of that, and...
I'm sure you represented some of the words.
Depends on the occasion.
Okay, let's vote on the motion. Mr. Carpenter's amendment is to go to 5 years. All those in favor of Carpenter's amendment, raise your right hand.
5 years minimum for...
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the motion carries 4-3, so it's 5 years. All right, that brings the main motion to us, which is 5-99.
Mm-hmm. You put all...
Okay, all those in favor of the main amendment, same thing, 5-99 years.
Mm-hmm.
Raise your right hand, the main motion. Favor of the main motion?
5-99.
Okay, all those opposed. Okay, motion carries. Mr. Brown, you vote for it again.
I voted for
okay,
the
motion carries 6-1.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, on the two-page amendment that committee members should have, does everyone have it? It starts out pending 1255-140, which is the object of section 13 on page 12.
Can you explain that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. That replaces?
No, this is just, the last time we had the meeting, you were,
okay. What this amendment does is if you want to make a guy who commits a C and then an A, make him a second offender, which the bill did not originally do, this would do it.
Well, this goes much further than that.
This is unnecessarily complex, isn't it?
No.
No, it's real simple. It's just deletions of words.
This is, this changes what the current, just look at the bill and look at subsection A section 140. Okay.
Okay, now hold it. The first bill, now we've got a bill, we've got an amendment, we've got a little amendment.
We've got the big amendment.
Okay, we've got the big amendment.
Okay. Now the bill says the person convicted...
The bill or the amendment, or the main amendment?
The bill. I'm addressing the bill now. Okay. I've said that four times.
Okay.
A person convicted of a Class A felony may be sentenced to imprisonment for a maximum of blank years, and shall be sentenced to the following presumptive term of imprisonment subject to adjustment. Now, that language has not changed. But look at subsection 1. In the bill, it reads, for a second Class A felony conviction, blank years. Now, in order to... Then you have to go back to the definitions and find out what a second Class A felony conviction is, and that means the defendant has previously been convicted of a Class A felony. Okay? The only way in this bill you can provide for the situation where a person's has a prior C or B felony, and they now convict an A felony, and they are to be considered a second or subsequent offender, there is no way you can do it. There just absolutely is no way you can do it. Without saying, without making an absurd definition of saying, for a second Class A felony conviction means any prior felony conviction. That's the only way you can do it.
What's absurd about that?
I like
Well, you can do that.
I like it.
Okay.
Well, what's absurd
but
about it?
Because it's much easier to do it this way.
This is a felony amendment.
This one here. Because it changes for a second Class A felony conviction, and when it says, when the present offense is a second felony conviction, blank years. When the present offense is a third or subsequent felony conviction, blank years. And you're talking about A felony. And you go down to it for B or C, and you just fill in the numbers.
Okay.
Now, I suggest, if you do that, that you change two other parts of the bill. You make an aggravating circumstance a prior felony conviction of a higher class, and probably that should be with A felonies, well, you wouldn't have to do it with A felonies, but a higher class, and make a mitigating circumstance a prior felony conviction is one of a lesser class. To alleviate
that's not too consistent unless the aggravation.
Let's find out what that does.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading it
back. Real simple. Remember, we have this problem. The guy commits an A felony.
That's his first felony?
Yeah, okay, let's take two guys. The first guy commits A and then A. He's double A. Right? He commits two A. The next guy commits C and A. Okay.
We're zapping him into presumptive, but we're saying that the prior C is mitigation.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Is that you have the problem of this constitutional problem, or it may be, is the fact that they both get the same, right? Or you may even have triple A, and then the guy was CCA, right? They both get the same. So what this says is, what Doug's amendment would do is say, the fact that he had CC instead of AA could be a mitigating circumstance. Okay, so he's going to get the presumptive term, but he could get some mitigation. Or vice versa, you can get some aggravation. So in other words, there you get around this problem of the fact that the guy had some less serious offense, he doesn't get any consideration. He's going to get a presumptive term, but he's going to get, you know, some consideration for the fact that his wasn't as serious as the others. Because we only, under our proposal, we're only going plus or minus 50%, no matter what. But you've already moved him in. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's my suggestion. I couldn't figure out any other way to do it.
It's a real simple way of doing it. I don't
know. What is the constitutional problem with giving a man who has been convicted of CC and NA the same term as AA?
Equal protection.
Equal protection.
People in similar circumstances should be treated similar. And they're not in similar circumstances.
We haven't done that for years.
Larry? Have there been court decisions in that regard that kind of thing has not been equal treatment under the law?
Not that specific question itself, but there are questions. There have been a number of, there's a substantial body of law.
Yeah, obviously not
a presumptive, because nobody's ever, it hasn't been in effect in any place, hardly.
Okay, well, I'd argue that it's what you commit. This whole question is incidentally raising the illogic of something lesser on a first offense. I don't buy the argument.
What argument don't you buy?
That the crime rating of a double CA is not. That has to be mitigated compared to a.
Doesn't have
no, no, it doesn't.
Or could be mitigated compared to the crime rating of a triple A.
I guess the best example would be give you the crimes. I mean, say you're talking about a C. Well, let's say we're having two joyridings and then a rape. Okay, he's going to be considered a triple A under Doug's proposal. Now, don't you think that there really is a substantial difference between the person with two joyridings and then a rape, as opposed to the person with
three rapes?
One kidnapping, one rape, and another rape.
No, I guess I don't.
Well, then
I really do.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, there's another side of the coin that Mr. Carpenter is looking at, and that is this system also allows aggravation in the event that it's that a prior offense is of a higher
an ACC
level. Is an ACC. If a guy commits a C felony and he committed an A felony previously, he may get 50% above the presumptive
sentence.
But
also broadens the range of presumptive sentencing. I mean, like, if we're talking about that now, you know, it was originally drafted, the bill only covered, say, 30% of offenders. It's hard to guess exactly what the percentage is, but I'm willing to bet this would increase the range by about 20%. You know, and that's just a guess.
This is a law and order amendment.
That's a pretty hard argument for a defense to have to come in and argue. My guy's pretty good. He's always committed two, three, five of it. Even if it was mitigation.
Yeah, I mean, if you're offering it mitigation, you know, the judge is like, who are you kidding?
But I don't. I'm not arguing this very well, and I guess it's because I'm tired.
It's a hard case to argue.
No, I don't think so. We're talking about three felonies, and because we opted to place A, B, and C on them, we're saying that...
What's the magic in calling them felonies? Let me draw some arbitrary line and say, this is a felony. We're leaving out the fact that you were a misdemeanor. See, I mean, the whole distinction of misdemeanor felony is an arbitrary one that's just historical.
Well, originally, a felony was something you were killed
for. That sort of works for my argument.
You steal 10 pieces of bubblegum, why don't we say that that makes you a third felony?
Your ABC is arbitrary, you're arguing, right?
Yes,
okay, then if that's arbitrary, why don't we just, for the purpose of this sentencing, just say felony. That's
you
arbitrary,
limit
too.
The judge's discretion.
You what?
You want to limit the judge's discretion, and you clearly can't give the maximum, you can't say, okay, all felonies are punishable by a maximum term of 30 years, say, and then hope that, and then think that the judges could give, say, 30 years for the first time joyriding. In order to limit judicial discretion, you have to set, you know, narrow ranges. And I think that this is going to that.
Mr. Chairman, I don't, well, Lisa's better.
Well, I was just
going to
move the amendment.
I thought somebody had it. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, just so I'm absolutely clear, Doug, the amendment is basically a felony is a felony is a felony, and then there's aggravation and mitigation for...
The
amendment is basically what you've got to decide is now what it does. It locks in all second offenders, and okay, regardless of what their first offense was. And now all you're looking at is what their present offense is. That's what you're really looking at. You know, you're not concerned about whether it was a prior A or a prior B or a prior C. As soon as he commits his second felony offense, he's plugged into a presumptive sentence.
That's right.
Okay, then. What you've got to do is decide, as a policy matter, okay, when the second offense is an A felony, what is he going to get? What's his presumptive term? When the third or subsequent offense is an A felony, what's his presumptive term? Same thing for Bs and Cs.
I'm sorry, that's not what we're talking about.
That's not the nature of the motion, and these are blanks.
We're not talking about the terms, we're talking about the...
No, I know, but that's...
Okay,
I'm
so
that's
the next step.
Yeah, right.
The next
okay.
step is filling in the blank.
Now, and then the rest of it is... adding an aggravating, I just suggested adding an aggravating circumstance when you have a higher, when the previous ones are of a higher class. Maybe it should be the same or higher, I don't know. Maybe we should even put that
in. I've got a question about that. How's it happened that you're amending something from lesser to higher? Well,
because under the present law, Fred, they do it by the definitions, and it's under the present bill. The way that, this is out of 297. Under the present bill, because you have to do the shuffle in definitions,
they
add as
in lesser class in the opposite direction of
right.
what I think it is. You're
right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's confusing. Okay, so
okay. All right, the motion before us is this two-page amendment. Everybody got that straight?
Without the numbers.
Okay, without the numbers. Does everybody understand that, this amendment?
It puts all repeat felons into presumptive sentence.
Right.
Yeah, it does. It sweeps in some people who weren't going to be covered before.
Yes. Okay, questions can call for. All those in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. All those opposed, same time. Okay, the motion carries.
Huh?
All right. Doug, what's this one pager on this prior conviction thing? Was that just something that was left out?
Oh, what's that?
This one.
Oh, that, yeah, that's...
That's the clarification.
Yeah, that should have been...
That was just left out.
That was just left out.
Okay.
And I just had her type up an amendment real fast to stick it back in.
Okay.
This,
hold on for a second.
Hickey had something on that.
Yeah, what did he have on that?
Oh, he had the disabilities arising from the conviction.
Yeah.
Oh, see,
it's true, Barry, that... I mean, there are disabilities that are... Oh, I thought you were listening to
that. Well, what Hickey's deal does, it's very simple, is that this excludes periods of incarceration. Hickey would exclude periods of probation.
I think there's a good rationale for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
All right. I think there's one issue we could get by here, and that's the numbers. And I will read some numbers off to you.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to be here all night if you get into the numbers.
I think this is real simple.
Yeah.
Okay. If we don't do this in 5 minutes, I'll withdraw it. Okay. All right. Now, what the deal on these numbers is, I'll just explain what they are. All they did was took the numbers from 661, from what the commission did, And you know how they had a range for the presumptive that said 4 to 6 years or whatever? Just took the middle number. You know, the middle. And nobody liked the range, right? So I just took the middle. Okay, then I can, and I wrote all those numbers down, and I've got them here, and then I wrote all of Hickey's numbers down, and they're really basically the same numbers, although he left wider discretion than we did. Okay, so I'll just read these numbers off you, and I'll give you the blank. Okay, on page 4, or you're not 4, you mean on the amendment. Take the amendment. Okay, and line 4. Okay, and these are just out of 661.
These are the averages.
Mr. Chairman, are you getting, no, wait a minute. See, I'm going to have to rewrite this amendment if you're going to do it the way you told me you were going to do it. You can't just plug the numbers into this amendment.
Okay, well, that's true, but let's just do it for the purposes of discussion.
Hmm?
Let's just do it for the purposes of discussion.
Okay. Well, you can't do it for the
all right, I'll just leave those blank.
Yeah, we got to leave blank and hold on when we have the thing.
Shut up.
Okay. I mean, I don't care.
Line 7. Line 7. I'll explain this.
Line 7?
Line 7, that should be 10 years. Line 9, that should be 15 years. Okay, line 15, that should be 5 years. Line 17, 10 years. Okay, line 23, 2 years, and line 25, 4 years. Okay.
Where did you get those figures? Where did you read them?
I just read them off of here. They're from 661. You
he says they're the average.
Okay. See, like, they had things like, you know, saying on up there on line 7 where I took 10, they had, you know, what did they have? 6 to 11 or something, or 7 to 11.
Oh, you mean our, the 661?
Oh, they had...
It was a range.
The average was 9 and 14 and a half, and I rounded off to 10 and 15. And the second one, instead of 5 and 10, they had 4 and 9.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to say it, but on the numbers, I don't know if we want to vote right now.
Okay.
Because of the relationship between first offenses and subsequent offenses.
I'm getting to that.
Well... Is it really? If it's really all there, I'll do it. If you're okay. Really going to get there.
All right.
In regard to the possibility, I hope of an appropriate case of person that we're getting more than the presumptive guaranteed guy.
Yeah. No. Well, here's okay. Now here's the problem that we've got. Is that let's take Class A felony, third offense, down on line 9. That's 15 years. Okay. If you take 50%, that's 7.5, right? That makes it 22 and a half. Okay, that means that the guy can get maximum aggravated third offense 22 and a half years
for a class for maybe second offense.
Okay, all right, so what the commission had was 0 to 15 for the first offense. Okay, and what we had was that you could go to 0 to 15. But then if you wanted to go to like 22 and a half on the first offense, you had to go to the three-judge panel.
So you could go to the maximum presumptive with the three-judge
yes.
panel.
Yes, the outside end by going to the three-judge panel.
For the first offense.
Zero, but we kept 0 to 15.
For the first offense.
First offense.
And you can get above the presumptive level with the three-judge panel.
Oh, yeah. You can. Well, there's not a presumptive level in the first offense.
You would get the highest.
Well, what would be the presumptive if it were repeated?
The way it is, for the three-judge panel.
I didn't know we'd already done that. That was my suggestion originally.
See, the problem was otherwise we got to the problem of the first offender getting a higher sentence than the guy on the presumptive, and then you say, well, what's the logic of that? Well, if you go to the three-judge panel, then you're doing the same thing as you're going to the presumptive to get out to 22 and a half. So. Now, as Doug was mentioning here to me, the way this is drafted, it does not provide for that distinction. That you have 0 to 15, and then to get to 22 and a half, you go to the three-judge panel.
Because I always considered, Mr. Chairman, that you wanted, and that's what the testimony has always been, is you wanted the judge to have the ability to sentence the guy to the maximum authorized by law for on the first offense.
And then...
For the first
and that which would be the maximum that the three-judge panel could sentence the second or third offender to, too.
I agree with Doug. I know I missed a meeting here, too, because
okay.
Other thing. Well, Lisa, we talked about it before.
You're saying not to have to go to the three-judge panel.
Yeah, I suggested that you could aggravate a first offense. That is, the judge had zero to some limit, but he actually could go above that limit and up to the area that the repeat guy would be getting in the real bad case if you had something like aggravating factors. That was a suggestion I made here about
yeah.
it.
I know what was your suggestion,
yeah.
I'm making a different suggestion.
Well,
there's a real problem with that, Brent.
And this is what the commission did with the same problem was, you know, you've got this range of going to what, and that's what the commission did. They said you go to 0 to 15 on the first offense, and then if you want to go over that, you go to the three-judge panel. Just like you're going to have for the presumptive.
Sure. Just in terms of getting the commission's proposal across, you could say a person convicted of Class A felony may be sentenced to imprisonment for a maximum term of 22.5 years. Then add a subsection 1 and say when the present offense is a first Class A felony, 15 years. And
not
don't apply that.
Class A felony, first felony.
First, well, you're talking about A felonies.
No.
No.
Not with regard to county for purposes of presumption. We just voted on that.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's correct. You got it ready there.
Well, that's
you could easily draft it.
All right. Let's just decide the issue of that. Fred's making one proposal. I'm making a different proposal.
Your
5 minutes is up. Okay. My proposal is that you go 0 to 15, and then it's 0 to 7, 0 to 3 on ABC, and that if you want to go out to the maximum possible for any, you know, multiple offender, which is 22 and a half, 15, and 6, that you go to the three-judge panel to do that.
For any, wait a minute, that's really quite different from what I thought presumptive sentencing is.
Me too.
We don't have presumptive sentencing for first offender.
Yeah, but you said for any multiple offender.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I said on the first offender,
yeah,
that if you want to go above the maximum, out to the outside number, then you go to three-judge panel. For instance, on A felonies, you have 0 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to 22 and a half, you go to three-judge panel. On B felonies,
okay, you're saying the three-judge panel could aggravate it in a way in which the trial judge can for a repeat felon when he's looking at presumptive. Well, I suppose that, yeah.
You see, now
you're making it more complicated than it is now. I mean, you sure don't need to.
Well, really, not to do it that way, Doug, creates a very strange situation on a second offense. Okay, because let us say first time he's convicted is an A felony. If it goes as drafted, the sentencing judge can give 22.5 without going to a three-judge panel. Yeah, but it's a second offense.
He could only give
15, which is 50% more than the presumptive. And then in order to get the extra 7.5, you have to go to the three-judge panel. You're putting more obstacles.
Yeah, but that's been the whole idea of my presumptive sentencing, is to have a ceiling and a floor.
I think you've got it, and I think,
so you,
I think
what,
that...
What you're doing is complicating it more. I don't really care, Mr. Chairman, but
you're changing around
the very basic. That's what I was trying to tell you. You're changing it all around.
Yeah. Why can't we just have the trial judge decide to take the guy above it and you...
Okay, well, nobody likes that idea.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the trial judge should. The three-judge panel is supposed to be for the unusual situations. It's going to be a hassle. There are only going to be 5 Superior Court judges to start with statewide available, apparently. It's supposed to be for the very extreme situations, just beyond the pale. And if you put it in a situation where a three-judge panel might be considering every first felon, you know, then that's just not a good idea. Now, Barry started to say, well, there are problems if you're taking a first offender up to the top of the range for or above the level of what the presumptive sentence for a second offense is.
The aggravated sentence for second offense.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I'm only saying taking it up to the level that is the aggravated sentence for a second offense,
yeah,
in the event that the judge finds certain aggravating factors. And we can go ahead and look at our list of aggravatings that we look at in regular presumptive and put in considerations like that or something. Have the trial judge decide it rather than having it going all the way up to a three-judge panel for first offenders who are particularly bad. Is there an equal protection problem?
Make it in 3 seconds. You just have to have a way to, for the judge to be able to get to those cases, right? You want to check on it. You consider an appellate check. Is there changing the standard of appellate review? Put the burden on the judge. Put a burden on him when he exceeds it. And just give him a different appellate review standard. Then you don't have to go to 3-judge panels. But is there anything you can also give him a petition for review or some kind of speedier mechanism to get the case up? So if there's an extraordinary sentence, you can go to the Supreme Court and work quickly with another case and get some kind of summary treatment on a tightened standard of review. You can accomplish the same thing.
Now, can I hear your proposal one more time? What would you say?
Okay, and you look at the way you've got it now. Is we say that the first offense on the on an A felony, just to use an example, the third offense, if it's aggravated, you go to 22 and a half years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means that what you have to do is allow the first offense to go to 22 and a half years, 0 to 22 and a half.
Why?
Well, how are you going to do it?
Well, I mean, why? Because you've allowed it to go on the third.
I guess you don't. I was just saying that if you are going to, that then I thought you should go to the 3-judge panel after some point.
Well, I thought, why wouldn't you use the second 15 years?
Yeah, well, if say the first offender, you've got a really bad first offender.
15 years.
You got the really, really, really bad first offender. That's the situation.
Okay. Well, fine. If people just want to go 0 to 15 straight on the first offender, I don't have any problem.
Well, that was the original proposal, right?
I don't know. Everybody. No, I was saying you could go to 20.
Oh, sure you can with the 3-judge panel.
Yeah, but.
Okay.
All right, I'll move the following amendment then.
We can't do it with this amendment, right. Mr. Chairman. We have to rewrite the amendment.
Okay, but to fill in the rest of the blanks.
15, 7, and 3.
Well, then, how are you going to do it then?
Well, that's the way, you know, presumptive sentencing is part of, for 3 years, as far as I've been concerned, has always been
I just asked
0 to the max on the first offense. Okay.
0 to 22.
0 to whatever the max was on the first offense. Okay. A presumptive term on the second offense that could be aggravated or mitigated, and then could have the 3-judge panel give the guy the max, with the same thing on the third offense.
Okay, what are you calling the max?
Whatever you want to set it.
But that's not how it
works. Well, the question is what you mean by the maximum for a first offender.
That's why it's worked for 3 years, Barry.
Wait.
Okay. All right.
Here.
All right.
Huh?
That's,